Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Sports 2030, Episode 1. So Sports 2030, the year 2030, is what this particular government document is produced for, and it's about how sports are going to be organised in Australia, and it's sort of like a curriculum document for Australian sports, a reorganisation of it. It has a lot of implication to various sporting bodies to read it and understand it and see how things fit into it. Now, I must admit, I have podcasted before. I tried to podcast the Australian science curriculum for HSC in New South Wales, the Australian curriculum in New South Wales. And reading through that, there was an awful lot of repetition and things actually didn't add, finally add up. So there's various symbols which were declared two or at least twice. And then when you read through the document, they actually weren't used. The actual consistency of the document wasn't there. And so these are the big documents which were been associated with it. There was a general interest overseas actually listening to these curricula as someone struggles through reading it. So this is like a curricula for all of Australian sport, and it's a, dare I say, a political document, and it does various things of putting the control of standards back into the organisations controlling the sport. And so you get a thing that in general, this is a general thing, the educational providers are the ones providing the standard, and you get a very closed system of people saying that, oh, my friends are the only people who meet the standard, and therefore they can actually create sort of this inbred sort of thing. So I think perhaps my feeling, just looking at the overview of it, that we may well be in crisis if we follow all of this to 2030, but let's have a listen on what it's got to say. It's an 80-page document, and I've printed out the first 35 pages, because I think that's what I'll be able to possibly get through in an hour or so session, just reading it through. And of course, just as a background, I'm doing cardiac rehab, mental rehab, cognitive rehab, being able to read these sorts of things. And I've got a lot of assistance from people reading through my stuff. I'm reading through their stuff and trying to give strategic support to them. And part of it's reading the strategic background documents. So the first, we start off in page three, the first three pages. The first page was the cover page, and then two pages of contents. But there's little point in reading you the table of contents if you want to hear it in a podcast form. So this is the minister's forward. And there's a picture of the minister who's got a very nice smile and two earrings on. And it's Senator, the Honourable Bridget McKenzie, Minister for Sport. And here's the byline. Australians are known for their love of sports. We have an extraordinary passion for it, and our competitive nature is renowned around the world. For many Australians, it's the ethos of who we are and helps to shape our identity. Well, can I say to an international audience, I am embarrassed by that. We often hear references to the spirit of Australia. Well, in Australia you do. This has been through the prism of sport, on everything from football fields to the athletic tracks to tennis courts and swimming pools. Mm-hmm. That's obviously, when you listen to sports commentators, they have to fill up the space with and sell newspapers. They have to actually do that there. It might be the first time you kicked a football or swam a lap. It might be the dedication involved in travelling to and from training, after school or after work. It might be the Saturday morning spent volunteering at the local sporting club's canteen, or getting up in the middle of the night to watch a sporting event on the other side of the world, cheering, glued to the division, willing someone to win, and knowing households across the country are doing exactly the same thing. ideally, of course, there's the, I'm going to mention this, the dark side to this, which is this betting, the betting culture. And, I suppose you can go back to other cultures which are sports mad, like the, late Roman Empire, the Byzantine culture, which had the, I think, the red, white, blue and green sporting divisions. And, you have the Roman Empire, which is sports mad. They built heaps of colosseums when they should have been building fortifications against the Germans. Okay. Oh, God, should I mention it? Thanks to our green and gold, our Australian sporting teams and athletes are instantly recognised around the world. Well, yes, except green and gold is also the colour of Brazil. Sporting successes is part of Australia's DNA. Oh, God, that really is a self... It's like the poorest quality of argument I could possibly say. Our service is in our DNA. Well, I don't want... like, that's not a scientific fact. Okay. Consider Don Bradman, Dawn Fraser, John Landy, Rod Laver, Heather McKay, Peter Thompson, even Google Gone Corley, and the Awesome Foursome. The Awesome Foursome, Louis Savage, and Ian Thorpe, to just name a few of our sporting stars who have more than matched the world's best. Our sporting success is closely linked to our magnificent natural environment. The outdoors is our natural psyche. From Bondi Beach to Fremantle to the Murray River to Cape York, the Australians have long been drawn to the water producing world-class swimmers, surfers and sailors, yet our interests are evolving with our love of snow sports, alpine adventures is growing, and also computer games, should I mention it? Year on year, our winter sports athletes build our reputation in these disciplines. Sport is part of the fabric of our communities, with dozens of sports played in schools and club level every day of the week, helping to strengthen the social connections, support local economies, and improve health outcomes. Now, I would actually agree with that. That it's very interesting being cheering. It allows the community to discuss things and educate themselves. Now, this education goes well in some places. It teaches sportsmanship and analysis. Then it goes awfully wrong in other cases, where I think sort of bad sportsmanship and aggression and bad ideas get come across. It's really interesting to see how this is managed, and it's many years of work in the different codes to get people to behave well and civilly to each other, but at least they're doing it in the sporting fields rather than in business, ruining the economy and lives and doing it. Okay, continue with the Honourable Bridget. We know sport and recreation activities have built ability to bring people and communities together and provide opportunities for inclusion, as they have the ability to inspire and motivate individuals while also fostering community pride. I tell you what, as I'm reading this, I'd love to run it through a word analyzer to check for authorship. A national sports plan, it's interesting that each paragraph has got one or two sentences. And it's got a certain structure to it. It's very interesting, so I don't know whether she's actually written it herself. A national sports plan to ensure we continue to enjoy success in the years to come and encourage more Australians to be involved in sport and physical activity from childhood through to senior years so they receive health and social benefits that participation delivers. The Australian government recognises that Australia and the role that Australia and the role of sport and physical activity in our society has changed. In sport... what? Oh, okay, it's changed. I hope you're going to tell us. Sport 2030 addresses this change. Okay, so the fact is that Australia and the role of sport has changed. Therefore, all the things we believed about in the earlier paragraphs are different. We need new ways to focus on and invest in sport and physical activities so we can achieve our potential as a nation. In Sport 2030 is the Australian government's strategic plan to deliver this over the next decade and beyond. It is Australia's first national sports plan that charts a clear path to demonstrate how we will continue to excel in elite sport, maintain sporting integrity, supporting grassroots sporting organisations, and increase participation levels for better health and well-being. So there, that seems to be the fundamental dot points. Importantly, Sport 2030 recognises the significance the role sport plays in Australia's economy, from our big cities to regional and remote communities, and the maximises the benefit. I think there's actually a community education aspect of being involved in it. There's a cohesiveness that you get different people brought together, working together on a cause which is outside their economic and professional milieu. The success of Sport 2030 cannot be achieved alone. It must be in partnership. Oh, okay. It's therefore acknowledged the leadership of the Australian Sports Commission, now Sports Australia, in developing Sports 2030. Okay, my only problem... Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you also to the Australian Olympic Committee, the Australian Paralympic Community, Commonwealth Games, Australia and Department of Health, all the national sporting organisations on your device in developing the Sport 2030. So they've now that's interesting. They haven't actually got advice from the people of Australia. There's all these vested interests in here. I'm excited about the future of Australian sport, and Sport 2030 will ensure we can realise our vision to be the world's most active and healthy sporting nation, known for its integrity and sporting success. Yep. I suppose the things that are missing from here are because it's got a health dimension, the doctors, sports scientists, and social scientists. That's the academic university seem to be looked up. It seems to be very much an in-house job at this point of time. Now, this is one of the things of doing these podcasts. You can hear me think as I talk. Now there's a new organisation, Sport Australia, which is called the Australian Sports Commission. Okay, I'm confused by this. So this is John Wiley, AM, so he's got a gong from someone, and it's Chair of Sports Australia. The Australian Sports Commission is, this is the byline, the Australian Sports Commission is delighted to support the Australian Government's first ever national sports plan. I'm also excited, it has to be a first ever, you can't have a ministerial announcement unless it's a first ever. I sort of know that from inside the public service, it's got to be first. Because it's the first, you can announce it. If it's not first, you can't announce it. I'm also excited to announce that the launch of Sport 2030, we are changing our name to Sports Australia. So he's the Australian Sports Commission. That's all that's changed. A contemporary name to reflect our changing role in sport. Okay, I can't see how Sport Australia reflects their role in sport any differently from the Australian Sports Commission. Hopefully it expands it. Sports matter a great deal to our country, in part of our DNA. Oh dear. We're proud sporting that really does not say anything to me as a scientist. Sport is part of our DNA. Well, I'd like to give you a sample of a DNA sample from a Fijian and, from a series of countries, and you can support it. I just think that's just a ridiculous statement. We're a proud sporting country. We love to see Australians mix it in the best of the world stage, and our long illustrious record of success is admired around the world. Well, I don't know who puts their hand up to admire Australians, but my other aspect of it, we're just a competing country in it. My problem is that the media has to fill in the 10 minutes before a sporting event, and they're not going to do it with anything complex. It's the simplest story. Our love of sport is a great asset to our country. Well, I again would say that our love of sport is a liability that unscrupulous people can exploit. Sport motivates young Australians to be active, producing, on the whole, better results at school and providing early foundation of skills and habits which help them remain healthy and active throughout life. I'd like to see the research for that one. So what promotes social inclusion and cohesion? I think this is true. And teaches vital lifelong personal qualities of character, resilience and teamwork, as well as life lessons gained by both winning and losing. I think, like, I've seen some of the most unethical people, some real bullies are also great in social thing. You've really got to, you leave yourself open for real analysis here. You've got some of the worst unethical people play sport, and they play sport, just reinforces the way that they think. There's nothing like a sport as a force for social change and good. It is true that it can be so, but again, sitting there, I can see some aspects which are social good. There are also some aspects where a obsessive coach has a negative effect. Okay. The awe-inspiring rise of women's sports and parasports in the past decade has changed community perceptions and led to broader societal changes. Sport matters economically to our country. Oh my God, it's going to be seven. Oh, right. It delivers $83 billion of benefits to Australians each year, a return of $7 for every dollar invested, and our national brand in sports supports indirectly many other industries such as food, exports and tourism. Well, again, I'd like to know what the $83 billion. I'd like to see a price breakup, an audit thing of the $83 billion. Because, it's all well okay, but if you've got you've got the claim for one thing and another, so people can double count a benefit over and over again for different programs. So you can, well, at the end of the day, if the government says everything they do benefits the economy this much, you'll wind up, over counting. So at some stage you won't doubt that you can attribute that to, like you can say, I don't know, tyre sales are great, but there's a bigger asset. It's a smaller component of something big. Society, however, is changing. The same thing. Society is changing. Australians as a country is changing. I was going, this is a repeat. You wonder if the same people wrote the two things, but this seems, looking at the structure of this, it's still got the paragraph, two words a paragraph. No, it's just a sentence paragraph. Can't tell. Looking at the structure, who wrote this? Society, Australia is a country that's changing, and sport needs to change too to avoid the classic traps of complacency, stasis, overconfidence that can produce, be the product of decades of success and failure to adapt to changing times. Well, I'd say so, but you also got to be watch out for the encumbrance who use this to gather power. Oh, here's, it's interesting that you can see instantly a different authorship from this. Just look down the page, you can look at the length of different paragraphs. Three sentence paragraphs, one sentence, here's a one sentence paragraph. Which is rather strange. Sport 2030 provides a roadmap for the future success of sport in this country. Okay, that's correct. However, it provides a roadmap. Hopefully not for, obviously it's future success. Obviously it's sport, because it's sport 2030, and in this country, yeah, okay. I would say for sports 2030 is a roadmap, full stop. Sport Australia, which is the Sports Commission, will lead its implementation. Okay, so we now know that it's relied on collaboration, but now Sports Australia is going to do it to create an even better, more successful national sports sector. That's the goal. If we get it right, we know that in 2030, sport will be continue to be a key point of national pride. Our Olympic, Paralympic teams and national sporting teams will continue to achieve podium success, and our athletes and their journeys will be the source of inspiration for the next generations. Very interesting. So they're only interested Olympic and elite thing. That's, if it's successful, this will. Now we'll go back. Obviously he's going to do a bit more. It's very interesting that he's only got that as a goal. Our goal is for Australia to be the most active sporting nation. A healthy and successful sporting nation known for our integrity, vibrant participation base, thriving sports organisation and world-leading sports industry, as well as our elite competitive results. Okay, well, I just have to mention that there's drug taking, gambling, ball tampering, for all these negative aspects of it, and obesity, because what happens is that people like sitting on TV and not doing sport, which we all like just staying up at night, losing a good night's sleep, but it's not necessarily the best way of doing it. Okay. As well as our elite competitive results. Sports 2030 will be supported in the months ahead by the release of more detailed Sports Australia strategies. Okay. In many ways, this is a continuation of the path Sports Australia has been on for a number of years. Even though it's a new organisation, it's just renamed. We have driven changes to processes of sports to modernise their governance and embrace the digital economy and innovation. Well, I would questionize that they may have modernized their governance, but they're still making fundamental thing of putting skill, people responsible for standards. The fundamental government flaws are involved, i.e. taking control away from the lower groups of people. I think it's a very naive thing to say that I've improved governance by actually taking all the money and all books and all responsibility away from the local level and then giving it back through a more complicated system. It just means the more paths, more steps you have, the more difficult it is to ensure governance. Okay. I'd love to see a logical statement behind that, an evidence statement behind it. We've driven better opportunities for women in sports, both on and off the field, and ensured para sports, and our Paralympians have taken their rightful place in Australian sport. So they have driven the sports, they may have, I'd love to see it, and have they ensured it? Through our Sporting Schools program, we provide better opportunity for school to experience a wide range of sports and join the local sporting club or group. Sports Australia will change too, with less emphasis on service delivery that can be done effectively by others and more on system leadership and innovations. However, okay, so that's an interesting thing is, the skills required for success are changing. The Australian Institute of Sport, AIS, is committed to staying ahead of this hyper-competitive game and while retaining its unqualified commitment to ethical sport. We look to create new partnerships between Australian sports for the common good of the sector and creating a culture of collaboration, not just competition. Okay, right. Sports 2030 brings together the knowledge and insight of many people from across the sporting sector who provided submissions, attended feedback sessions, and contributed ideas. We thank them for their impact. It'd be really nice, like a Senate inquiry where you actually get to read all the submissions and actually, you know, pick backwards. So it'd be interesting. So there has been a process going up to this, and it would be nice to know what that process is. We also thank the Australian Government for its foresight in wanting a national sports plan. The significant financial support it continues to offer to the sector each year without Australian sport would be a shadow of success the story is today. It's said that luck is where preparedness meets opportunity. I think there's... I think was it luck favors the prepared mind from who was it Pasteur. It's a quote from Pasteur. That's an individual paragraph. My God, Father. There is no doubting the opportunity for Australia. The plan and its implementation will give us preparedness for the strong basis of long-term success. Okay, that's by the head of Sports Australia. Now we go to the introduction. Okay, so there the forwards. We go to the introduction. The Australian government has a clear and bold vision for sport in Australia. And this is it. To ensure we are the world's most active and healthy nation, known for our integrity and sporting success. So we're not going to be the East Germans. Sport has always been a key part of Australian life, from our big cities to the smallest regional towns. For generations, it's helped to shape the sense of identity and enhance our international reputation. Australia has long enjoyed the social and health benefits of participating in sports, with sporting teams so often the heartbeat of the local communities. Travel to any sporting ground in regional or metropolitan Australia and you see a sense of belonging that is created around the local sporting clubs. I think you can see in a sporting club a sense of belonging, but whether that is actually across, that is, I don't know. Okay. Today, Australians are watching more sports than ever, and our sports industry has grown to be a key contributor to the Australian economy. Australia's long, proud, successful history on sports stage has played a pivotal role in defining what it means to be Australian. Who can forget the magical moment of the 2000 Olympic Games when Cathy Freeman, wearing a hooded bodysuit, turned for the home in the women's 400 metres to win the gold medal and a permanent place in sporting history. The 2000 Olympics were a demonstration of all that's good in sport for individual communities and the economy of a national spirit. However, much has changed since 2000. Yep, it hasn't really worked as well for the other countries who tried it. Australia's ageing and ethnically diverse population has made us a stronger, more inclusive country, and rapidly growing role of technology has transformed the way we live and work and play. But fewer Australians are playing sport and engaging in physical activity. Okay. My overall problem is that this is a bit of a shock given all this fantastic chest pumping. This is a trend we need to reverse. Australia must have a plan to address the decline in participation levels and to ensure the continued enjoyed success for years to come. Okay, so you've got to wind those two things together. I think you should perhaps have two separate organisations, but, it's sort of like a shop that's going to be a hamburger joint and a funeral parlour. You know, there's two separate things. The performance, like a hamburger shot's instantly for get a feed and get a hit. You know, I see my Susie O'Neill swim the pool, or someone else. I don't know, Hodgie lead the Hawks or something like that. That's a big hamburger aspect. But then you've got this long haul stuff. Okay, our performance of elite athletes plays a significant role in helping motivate and inspire. However, we are achieving fewer medals on the world stage. Our competitors have improved significantly, and international rankings have sports has slipped. It's also slipped in every aspect of Australian life. Our academic support, our production of universities, the whole ship is sinking. Okay. We need a plan so our sports industry can continue to thrive as a global leader and grow as a key contributor to our economy. We need to recognise that other countries have changed the way they focus on high-performance sports and have refined success. Okay, that's a nice state. Informed by comprehensive consultation process, Sports 2030 is Australia's first national sports program. It represents the Australian government's long-term commitment to seeing Australian sports thrive. Okay. Sports 2030 is the vision and the plan for sport and physical activity in Australia over the next 12 years to be delivered in partnership with Australia's sporting and physical activity, technological and educational corporate community. It's just my overall problem is that there's obviously pathology happening here, and there's no there's nothing to see here. It's like the, you know, there's nothing here, move along. It's all good. There's been no problems. But I think there has been problems in the past, like Paralympics and women is a problem fixed. But the general level of sports activity is, you know, your general level of activity can increase by gardening, walking, and all these sorts of things like this. And then you've got the sports level at the top. Seems a very broad charge that they're getting through. Sports 2030, this is, again, introduction 3, but another page of the introduction. Sports 2030, setting up Australia for sports and a prosperous future. Our vision for Australian sports 2030. Australia is the world's most active, healthy sporting nation, known for its integrity and excellence. We're also, I think, the second fattest nation on earth. 14 million Australians participate in sport annually. 1.8 million volunteer. 158 million hours each year, and 220,000 are employed across the sector, helping to generate approximately 3% of our GDP. That is, it's more people are employed in sport. That's greater than defence, and it's greater than education sport. Again, it's helping to generate. So it doesn't generate, it helps to generate. Sport is a big business and a good investment. It provides an estimated 83 million of combined economic, health, educational benefits each year. Aha! So someone has qualified the benefit to health and put a number to it, and the education for benefit, which is different from what the last person quoted. I think the minister said 83 billion. What did the minister say? So this is just, let's look here. The minister didn't say 83 million. Billion? So 83 billion is a number which is thrown away. Yes. John Wiley said, delivers 83 billion of benefits to Australia each year. So it's actually not, it's not actual physical turnover, it's physical, say if someone does the sport and doesn't have a heart attack, they would have cost $100,000 if they had a heart attack, but if you can say on average that sport reduced that by 10%, that's $10,000 in the bank per Australian. Because $83 billion is, $3,000 per Australian citizen. To get it across. Okay. Sports 2030 will provide significant benefits to Australians of all ages by 2030. The goal is that. Now here are the individual goals. We have a diverse, inclusive sport and physical activity sector that supports more Australians to be more active more often, creating a stronger, healthier Australia where many people as possible can see and feel the benefits of sports and physical activity through every stage of their lives. It's This is goal. Okay, I'm just trying to process that. Okay, future generations will be more physically active and better prepared with the skills and knowledge to live healthy lives. Sports, physical activity organizations are connected into other sectors such as health, education, infrastructure to tackle challenges such as physical inactivity and leverage sport for social benefits. That's a goal. Barriers will reduce, allowing greater access to sporting facilities and infrastructure for all Australians, no matter where they live. A high performance system will be focused around sports teams and athletes and ensuring they have world-leading technology, practice systems and people to enable them to achieve lasting podium success. And there will be greater collaboration across the sports sectors with partner organisations, including various levels of government. The best governance systems will better position our sports for changing the world, enabling them to focus their energy, time and revenue on driving international performance, strengthening pathways and systems, creating commercial opportunities and increasing participation rates amongst more Australians. Okay, so my fundamental thing is that if someone makes a decision, say in one of these bodies, and you don't like it, there is no governance to it. They just make the decision. That's the final. There's nowhere to go. There's no. There is actually no governance, as far as I can see. Some of these things, and I'm just a scientist looking at this. Australian sport can identify, address and proactively deter threats to sports integrity, allowing fans and participants to have faith in our sport that's safe and fair. So that would be drugs and gambling. Australian sports industry leads the world in many areas, including what? Oh, that will lead, no? Australians, including integrity, inclusion, innovation, research, physical literacy and technology. Okay, now they've got the plan on a page. So, the goal, again, is Sports 2030, this top, and then another, it's like, it's not a table as you and I would fully recognize it. It's sort of a combination of a table and a tree diagram. Australia, colon, to be the world's most active and healthy sporting nation, known for its integrity and sporting success. So, it's sort of really strange. We've got to be known for our integrity. Why can't we just be successful and do you want to do the most active? Why not just that's really hard. What is a sporting nation? Okay, now, strategic priorities. There are four strategic priorities. Okay, and they lead to a mission, a target, and outcomes. It's almost like the education department. Okay, now, there are four columns here. I'm going to read them down. I assume it's supposed to be a little arrow down. So, building a more active Australia. Reduce inactivity amongst Australians by 15% by 2030. Okay, well, surely that would be the headline grabber. Why 15%? Okay, that's just a mission. The target, more people of all ages engaged in sports and physical activity throughout every stage of their life. Surely the mission, the 15% is the target of the mission. Okay. And then I think the outcomes are generalized outcomes of it. Then, achieving sporting excellence. Their mission, national pride, inspiration and motivation through international sporting success. That's the mission and the target. world-class high-performance systems that is empowered to achieve sporting success through tailored approaches for sporting athletes, which is just like business as usual. That's a business as usual for achieving sporting excellence. We're going to be excellent. It's going to be excellent. Will make us proud, and we're going to do it intelligently. Yeah, because the athlete themselves has to provide the skill. Safeguarding the integrity of sport. So that's the third priority. A fair, safe, strong sports sector free from corruption. Okay, we're going to stamp out corruption. However, I think corruption's in the DNA of some of these sporting organizations, these sporting structures. Now, Baron, I'm not necessarily a governor, I'm just a observer saying, well, perhaps it's this. Perhaps that used car salesman is not the highest integrity person, even though he says he is. And his mate says he's okay. Perhaps the number of people who die in car crashes afterwards, and this is nothing, it's used car salesman, perhaps that might mean something. Just, I know, I don't want to get in a fight, only stating that. You know, that Australia's becoming more inactive and we're slipping down the middle tables and you're not doing anything different. Australian sport is seen as safe, trustworthy, fair and secure, reliable systems for deterring, detecting and dealing with threats to competition as a target. Okay, the fourth priority, strengthening Australia's sports industry. Okay, its mission, a thriving Australian sports recreation industry. The target, a strong, viable, contemporary, and inclusive sports industry with high quality, successful organisation, driving social benefits. Well, yeah, I think you've got a sort of a strange crossover here, that the sports industry is not necessarily going to line up with building an active Australia, but also it can also, they seem to be all folding into each other, say the corruption aspect and the way you structure a sports industry. Okay, but the general outcomes, so these all trail down from strategic priority, missions and targets. Be nice if they actually said what a strategic priority is, a mission is, and a target. Surely it's... Yeah, so reading from my studies of strategy. Oh my, I can't pronounce his first Japanese, the mind of a strategist is... Got no strategic, you need a strategic scenario first. Okay, now these are the output. Improved health, physical health, improved mental health, personal development, strengthening our community and growing the economy. So the medals aren't out there, but the economy is growing. Well, you know what? I can't really see how growing the economy fits in all of this. I can't honestly say I can't see our sport has got any objection. How does growing the economy fit into a sports policy? Surely, yeah, surely it's going to be an outcome, byproduct, I would say, byproduct of it. It's sort of like, yeah, truly like, if you got rid of gambling, you'd destroy the economy, but you get rid of so much. And if you got rid of gambling, you'd reduce people. Like the, if you say we've got a lot of the sporting nation is that, also the gambling nation, they're like too up taking a risk and stuff like that, but the risks of gambling are not intelligent risks, as far as I can see. So the risk, like there's a risk to say and go bushwalking, take a risk, say going canyoning in the Blue Mountains. Okay, now that was strategic overview. What? This is overview. That was plan on a page, or the one pager. Okay. dear. It's certainly not elevator pitch material. Overview of Sport 2030, page 5. Australia's National Sport Plan has four key priority areas which, when fully implemented, create a platform for supporting success to 2030 and beyond. Hope they're going to support this. So is this the proposition that they're going to develop? How? Okay. Priorities are, and you've heard them before, build a more active Australia. Dash, this means more Australians, more active, more often. Achieving sporting excellence, national pride, inspiration, motivation through international sporting success. Okay, more gold medals. Safeguarding the integrity of sport, a fair, safe, strong sports sector, free of corruption. Okay. Strengthening Australia's sport industry, thriving Australian sport and recreation industry. So I really think that's the economics of it rather than that we're after what they mean by thriving. Because you can have a huge club which is not making money, or you can have a real hard-nosed club which is making money. The strategic priorities are interrelated to ensure we address the key relationships between participation, high performance, integrity and sports industry more broadly. This recognises that the measure of sporting success is far more than how many gold medals Australia wins. Sitting under the five target outcomes will be five target outcomes. Now, previously I had... target outcomes, okay. This is at the very bottom. So it sits underneath that. Those priorities go through this, things which are rather repeat themselves, and it says, improve the physical health of Australians through the benefits of sports, physical activity, including reduced risk and chronic conditions, i.e. less injuries. Well, so what about individual sports, cycling, just walking, stuff like that? Improve the mental health of Australians through recognised mental health benefits of sports to physical activities, including improved management of mental illness and greater social connectedness. Well, yeah, I would say that from my observation is that a lot of people in sporting things who go into coaches, the coaches I have seen have been fantastic individuals, but just watching coaches, you know, you get to see a whole competition, whole grade of coaches, and there are good coaches and there are bad coaches, and that's just a comment. And you do have mental illness embedded into these organizations which have poor governance. Grow personal development. From taking up a new challenge to setting new personal goals or striving for the podium, we can help everyone endeavour to be their best self. God, this is a government document. Strengthening our community by harnessing social benefits of sports, including through improved cohesion and reduced isolation. I just think it's a real sort of like a lecture theatre. You see something on the sports, you see one social group come up against another social group, and some social groups go away hating it. No, they don't learn, and other social groups do learn. Grow the Australian economy, building on the already significant contribution of sport to the Australian economy. That seems a Liberal Party must. These outcomes will help create healthier, more prosperous Australia in an individual, local, regional, national level, built on success in sport that will be the envy of the world. I could almost read that a second time, but I won't. This is very similar to the curriculum, which is a political document, and you read it, and already they've repeated themselves a couple of times here already. So you see the $83 billion come up a couple of times, and then you see what they mean by benefits. So it's hard to come across. You see oh, people have put submissions, but we're not going to see what the submissions are. So they say, look, I've achieved submissions. They put it in a drawer, put their patting on it. We don't see how the process that they processed it through. Unlike a Senate inquiry where it's a bit more logical. Okay, page 6, principles for action. The strategic priorities of sports 2030 are the underpinning by the following principles. That's interesting, the plan on one page. These are principles. So how come these principles didn't come out in that one page? Sports activity, thoughts and physical activity for all, for life. Every Australian, all stages of life, can undertake the exercise they need and want in a safe, fun, inclusive way, whether it's through sport or other types of activities. Okay, that's a major thing. It's other types of activities. A diverse sports sector from playing field to the boardroom. Promote diverse sector represents our population. A varied range of sports opportunities has the greatest chance of getting more Australians active and producing better, well-rounded athletes. Yeah, there is this entire thing that the boardrooms are corporately based, you know, like a corporation, which is okay. It's just where it's often that the board, like I've been involved in scouts, and some scouts groups got a limited number of people, and they want to include everyone, and I get to go along. Other people want to be more efficient, and everyone does a role, and I don't get called along. So it's sort of really interesting to look at this. Sport Australia leadership. What does that mean? Sport Australia. Oh, Sport Australia is the new organisation. No? That was what the organisation was called? I just have to really... Sorry for doing this. They're called Sport Australia. Oh yeah, Sport Australia is that thing. Amazing. Well, it just means it doesn't mean anything. For Sport Australia, like it's normally Australia's Post or Australia, something like that. Sport Australia. Built on the historically significant work of Sport Australia, which is its new name, to continue to provide leadership which inspires Australians to be active and healthy, as well as driving sport success. Oh, the principle of action is that they're going to lead. Collaboration and partnership. Build new, innovative, mutually beneficial partnership with the organisations to share our vision, desired outcomes, whether other governments, sports or physical activity organisation, commercial or community bodies. Why not individuals? Sorry, mate. Why not individuals? Why can't you listen to... It may well be that individuals have a keen insight into it, especially in this digital age, social media. That's really out of touch as far as I'm concerned. Okay, learn, adapt, evolve. It's a little like a Hamburg Hill with Clint Eastwood. I think it's engage, innovate, and overcome. Or gain and maintain the initiative. That's all these catchphrases. Support further research, setting targets, monitoring progress, and modifying policy and programs accordingly. So that's going to read those principles again, just the headlines. Sport and physical activity for all, a diverse sports sector everywhere. Sports Australia will lead. Sports Australia will have collaboration and partnership with large bodies. And they'll learn, adapt, evolve. An important change in delivering our target outcomes is how we define sport for the purposes of the government policy and programs. The definition of sport will be broadened to include physical activity as well as organised and high-performance sport, reflecting our ever-increased opportunities for Australians to engage in physical activity throughout life. So I think this can actually get down to they want to engage with personal trainers. and a personal trainer sector. So it really means that these groups have to form themselves into peak bodies. Oh, I don't know. And yeah, it's where you can go. What's missing here is models. They don't have a series of models that they're going to consider of how this all works. When the Australian government talks about sport or sports policy, we will now talk about a broad range of physical activities, including informal, unstructured activities such as walking, riding, swimming, running, as well as traditional structured sport as new evolving sport and physical activity offering such as mixed martial arts, ninja style obstacle courses, and stand-up paddle boarding. So, there. That's an important headline there to go across. Yet, these things don't have collaboration partnership. So, bushwalking club or anything like that, or historical. And the fact is to say, like, the Historical Society of Glenbrook goes on walks around Glenbrook. There's physical activity involved in it. There's also, say, paper rounds or deciding to walk to the shops rather than drive. It's norm. Okay. Challenges and drivers, past, present and future. So that's what analysis we're going to get. The sporting landscape is changing, requiring this what is internal, external threats. Sporting landscape is changing, requiring foresight, action and cooperation if Australian sports to remain strong, safe and fair in the future. Yet, many of these challenges remain familiar. What I was going to say is that one of the things you don't necessarily get is that you don't get corruption. If you decide to go for a walk, you don't have people betting in corruption. It's a certain... Yeah, if you're not competing, there's no need to take drugs. In 1992, the Australian government of the day, which I wonder whether they're a Liberal one, maintained the momentum. This followed by the 2010 Pathways to Success on how we have sports in 20, and now we have sports in 2030. It would be nice if someone, there must be some sort of academic who's done research on this. Across a quarter of a century, we have grappled with how to increase our participation levels, sustain and improve Australia's performance at an international stage, protect the fairness of our competitors, and build on our sports industry. We've become less active, we've got less medals. Okay. Besides a blip from the 2000 Olympics. What makes sport 2030 different? 2018 is not 1992. The way we live, work, engage, and sport have changed. Australia has changed around sport. Where once people planned their weeks around sporting and physical activity, today many Australians look for sporting and physical activities that work around their week. Sport is more fragmented. Traditional sports now compete with less organised physical activities such as bloody yoga. Oh, that's a really interesting yoga. Bushwalking, cycling, gym, park runs for physical activity demands of Australians. Right. There's also a lot more bastardisation around, I'd say. Where once Australia, through the AIS, set benchmarks for other nations on how to deliver high-performance outcomes, we are now no longer cutting edge of sporting excellence, and that is affecting our performance of our athletes. Yep, we're a backwater, but that's because it's like any research organisation which has got too self-focused. As a nation, we have seized the opportunity of Sport 2030 to drive genuine and successful changes to meet the challenges of the day over the next 12 years. There have been exponential growth in the use of digital technology within Australia, while the demography of Australia continues to change. We're becoming older, more ethnically diverse, and time poor. Which is rather strange. I think this Ralston saw, said this, that we're getting wealthier, but we're actually working far harder than we ever have. We're actually living less of our life. And this is because these big corporations are, this is Ralston saw, are competing. They're going head to head, Coca-Cola versus Pepsi, causing huge, huge wastage. So the capitalist system is making ever greater demands on our wages is stagnating. By 2036, one third of more Australians will be aged over 65 than in 2012. Currently, only 25% of Australians over 65 meet the activity guidelines, providing a future challenge but also an opportunity. I really would like to speak to these guys because I've actually gone through the cardiac rehab wards and I have a big couple of messages for these people. But of course they're not going to collaborate with me, they're only going to collaborate with big organisations. And because they have consultations and they don't, you don't have public access to it, you can't see what they're missing or you can't link up with other people who believe with you. Inactivity is the fourth largest cause of chronic conditions in Australia and the nation. Is one now of the people, the obese people on earth, we're fatties. 56% of Australian adults, or more than 10 million people, are living sedentary and low activity lifestyles. Only 19% of Australians aged 5 to 17 are meeting the recommended guidelines of 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity each day, with the same age group spending on average 2 to 3 hours on screens. If nothing is done to curb the growth of obesity, one study predicts Australia will face an $88 billion extra health and social costs over the next 10 years. So that's 8.8 of that $63 billion she's popped in. Its office suggests that there's a lack of suitable sporting facilities or inefficient use of existing sporting facilities. I don't know who suggested that. Not me. You fly over Australia, and you fly over into Sydney, and it's like you fly over the Gulf. You see all these Orwells lit up at night. You fly over Australia, you see all these sports fields lit up at night. There needs to be more encouragement to create opportunity to share the facilities across the community organisations and schools. I think we're not getting into the digital mindset of these people. We need to build on current levels of sport activities in the schools to ensure each day children are meeting the physical activity guidelines. Research so fit children achieve better academic results. Children who grow up playing sport are 10% more likely to remain active as adults. There's Vygotsky's zone of proximal development in Wollongong stuff. I just think, okay. High performance sports has become an ultra competitive arm race where countries pour hundreds of millions of dollars into elite programs aimed at landing gold medals and pushing nations high up the medal table. Nations we compete with on the international stage have emulated our innovation and investment in the 80s and 90s and now have surpassed Australia. Well, bucko, unless we're coming up with something better, that's the case. The world of sport, both internationally and locally, is currently facing external threats of unprecedented scale. These include sophisticated doping practices. Thanks. Thank you. Illegal, unregulated sports wagering. Infiltration and exploitation of sports sectors by organised crime, absolutely, gosh, that's so obvious. Corruption in sports administration, okay, so it's corrupt sports administration, and we're going to say, are you corrupt? No, we're not corrupt, no. I've never been so surprised by it. Oh, look at the athlete, he looks so cute. Okay, ongoing needs to protect participants, particularly children in sporting environments, i.e. from child sex, child protection. While some parts of Australian sports are thriving, others are battling to keep up, i.e. golf, anything which has got time, support, anything which is natural die, I think croquet and bowls and darts and stuff like that. While some parts of Australia's sports, the two-speed sport economy has resulted where mainstream sports are growing thanks to burgeoning revenue streams, while other sports struggle and sometimes require government funding to stay afloat. Well, they burgeon because they've got business people in helping them burgeon. With continued pressure on public funding, it's more important than ever that money made available is used wisely as possible. Many of our sporting organisations have served us well for more than half a century, but one of the key challenges is the ability of the current organisations to adapt and keep up with the pace of change, whatever that means, a code for something. If Australian sport is to thrive in the face of these challenges, it requires a clear vision and clever investment in areas that will support healthy, successful and fair sporting industry. Responsibility for sport is shared across all levels of government as the investment in sporting infrastructure, but there remains a significant opportunity for the greater collaboration to ensure the best results at an elite and community level. Okay, I've been reading for an hour and 5 minutes, and my target is 50 minutes, this sporting document's helped me rehab in this direction. What I want to do, I'm up to page 9, and I've got a fair number of pages to do. I'll do another podcast soon. Thanks for listening. This is the end of episode 1. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.